Hey, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. You're looking good this morning, right? Everyone's got a little more color to them. That's a good thing, right? I just feel like taking a nap after I sit in the sun, and that's okay too. Especially as I get older, it seems like I like to nap more and more. Anyone else in that boat? Huh? Yeah. And then if you didn't say yeah, it's probably because you're napping. I'm just playing. But it's so good to see you. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Woo! What a great day. I tell you, I am so grateful for the moms that are in this room. I am so grateful to my mom because, I mean, come on, people. Where would we be without our mom? I mean, nowhere, right? Hello. Hello. If you took any health class, you know what I'm talking about. But just what a great day to celebrate moms, to honor moms. I tell you, my own mother and the moms in my life are true heroes and heroes to me. I think, well, my mom is here this morning, back there, but just amazing. And I look at my own kids that I have today, and their hero is my wife, their mom. And so, moms, you are our heroes this morning. And so my message today is really geared to honor you and to celebrate you. And husbands, you know, don't check out, because I believe, just because I may be speaking more towards the moms this morning, I believe that God wants to speak to you as well. And so it's not just, you know, Sunday off, but I believe God's going to speak to you. But moms, we just honor you. At the end of the service, we have a gift for each and every mom that's here today. And I hope you get spoiled. I hope you get treated well. You know, you talk about Mother's Day and you hear moms, and I haven't met any mom that you get like a complete day off. Because I think if you got a complete day off, I just would be curious how tomorrow would work out. If you took the whole day off, I don't know if tomorrow, if time would just stand still and tomorrow would never come. I don't know, but I hope you get spoiled today, moms, and I encourage you, go out and take advantage of the day and celebrate your day. I was thinking about, obviously, when you start to think about speaking for Mother's Day, you think about your own experience, and I'm so grateful for my mom who's here this morning and my mother-in-law who's here this morning, and I just want to encourage moms to not underestimate the power of influence that you have over your kids' lives, physically, emotionally, but also spiritually this morning. It was pretty cool, you know, as our four boys, we have boys, if you don't know, and they are, they range from 3 years old to 12. We have a 12-year-old now. He turned 12, and he is definitely in the preteen thing, and that's exciting. He is a morning person by nature, like we're talking 5:30, 6 a.m. every morning without an alarm. But the last couple weeks, we're noticing that he's not as morning as he used to be, and he's sleeping in. And but it's interesting. I can't wait for the day, as my kids get older, that I get to have conversations with them as adults about what I was thinking when they were kids. And it's so fun, as I get to now have conversations with my mom and hear what was going on in her life when she was raising me. And it was so neat, because this is probably about a year ago, she came to me and she said, you know, Justin, it was after church some day, and I think I got done speaking, and she said, you know, I remember the day that I was holding you, and God spoke to me and said, this one is going to be, not just this one's mine, because they're all God's, but she said, God told her that this one is going to be called into the ministry. At I don't know, I was a baby. I, you know, had no personality yet. I was just, you know, laying there and eating and sleeping. And she remembers that day that God spoke to her. And I want to encourage you, moms, that God wants to speak to you regarding your children's lives, regarding your grandchildren's lives, regarding their future, regarding their personality, regarding who God has created them to be. And I believe my mom, she was a praying mom, and she held on to that word that God said. And I'm sure there was times, we haven't had this conversation yet, but there was probably times when she was looking at my choices and my decisions and going, I wonder how all that's going to work out. But I guarantee you this, even in the wondering, she didn't stop praying. And this morning, I'm a product, and many of us are products of moms, not just natural mothers, but even spiritual mothers, that regardless of what you see with your eyes, that you put on the eyes of faith, and that you can pray things into existence over your children's lives. And not only my mom, but I was also reminded of my mother-in-law, who I've actually known my mother-in-law for a long time. My wife and I, we've been married for almost 14 years. April was a blur, people, right? April was a blur. It came and went, but we did celebrate an anniversary in there, but 14 years, and I've known my wife and her family for many years before that, but just I remember when we first got married and talking to my mother-in-law and being able to read my mother-in-law's journal, not the whole thing, right? That'd be weird, I'm sure, but just parts of the journal where I could see that she was praying for my wife Kara's future spouse, which was me. And not just praying like, God, you know, please, you know, make him rich, or please make him this, or please make him that. But she was praying character qualities that I walk in over this future spouse. And just to know that, again, moms, that you can help shape the destiny of your children today. And so I am so grateful this morning for all the moms in my life. And I want to encourage you, moms, to just anticipate God speaking to you about the future of your children's lives. Because he's going to do it. And you can pray those things through. Well, being a parent is no joke. Sometimes it feels like a sick joke, though, doesn't it? Or is it just me? Parenting can be hard. I am not a mother, I am a father, but mothering can be hard work. And mothering can be exhausting, I can only imagine, because I know what it's like to be a parent. And I just want to have a little fun this morning. I've just got a fun video that I hope parents, moms especially, that you can relate to. Let's show this video, and then we're going to jump in to the meat of the message this morning.
I was the perfect mom. Until I had kids. No, really, I was. In my pre-children fantasy, I popped out a bunch of children who were great sleepers, and they never had diarrhea shooting out of the back of their diaper into their hair. And speaking of hair, no knots, ever. They were vegetable-loving, chore-loving little angels. Before I had actual kids, my fantasy kids, they called me Mom, not Mom. And they never threw tantrums in public in the middle of a mall or a library. Or a church, during a funeral. I mean, other people's kids did that, but not my children, mm-mm. And most importantly, motherhood fulfilled me completely, and I loved every single second of it. But in reality, motherhood is nuts. My kids, nuts, completely nuts. So nuts that sometimes I have to hide away in the pantry and shove snacks in my mouth because the way today is going, there's no way I'm gonna have time for a sit-down meal like a fancy person. No time for forks today, people. See, this parenting gig is not for wusses. Oh, it is not. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my actual children more than I ever imagined I could love anyone. But parenting is hard. I mean, we're raising humans, like real ones, with different personalities and tendencies. And let's be honest, no one is actually completely equipped for this gig. I mean, this is harder than brain surgery, trying to raise tiny little helpless babies into responsible, decent adults. This is no joke, people. We all create this fantasy of what we think motherhood will look like. And then when reality hits and we can't reach the fantasy, then we're just left feeling inadequate, right? Laying in bed at night, beating ourselves up, and feeling guilty. Am I right? But see, this is the new approach I've taken recently. Instead of laying in bed late at night, feeling guilty about all the things I didn't accomplish, which basically means feeling guilty that I'm not Superwoman who can do everything perfectly and check off 3,000 things off her to-do list, instead, I start thinking about all the things that I did accomplish. Because the fact that I could keep humans alive and fed and loved and maybe fit in a shower for myself like once a week, that deserves some major credit. We pile so much guilt on ourselves because we're self-abusive freaks. We need to stop. Mm-hmm. We need to change our focus from everything we lack and everything we suck at to think about all the things we're accomplishing and all the things we actually are getting right. This is why I own a tiara, people. It's not a joke. It's a uniform, the mom uniform. Tiara, pajama pants, any shirt that isn't white, in a coffee pot, the mom uniform. So on days when you've survived being a grown-up and survived rinsing out your toddler's pooped underwear and survived running 19 errands and answering / ignoring 726 "but why, mom?" questions and survived your dog vomiting all over the carpet and your teenager temporarily hating you, on those days, wear a freaking tiara. Because you earned it. I was the...
So funny. So true. So true. And, you know, unfortunately, you moms can probably relate specifically to some of those. And, man, I pray for you during those days. And, but, man, and I do think the next, all husbands in here for Mother's Day next year, every mom needs a she shed. You know what I'm saying? You know what a man cave is, right? But I think moms need a she shed, a place where she can go and just decompress for a minute and have a little bit of normalcy in her life. You know, but this video, as funny as it is, it brings out a lot of truth. And I think a lot of things that us as parents, but also as moms, there's different pressures that you put on yourself. And, you know, she addressed it in a funny way. You know, and we even look at scripture, and there's scriptures I'm reminded of, like Proverbs 31, right? It's the virtuous woman scripture, where every mom, every wife aspires to be these things, and they're principles that God has laid out. But it's very interesting in reading it, because I don't know any mom in 2019 that is making her own bed sheets still. Right, that is dressing, as the scripture says, dressing her family in scarlet. You know, so there's a lot of these examples that we may not be able to wrap our head around. But I think it's important, moms, that we look at what God has called you to be as a parent, as what God has called you to be as a mom. The title of my message today is Mom Goals. Right, and if you're familiar with Mom Goals, you know that this is something on social media that you see, and it pretty much means a mom goal is something that a mom does that is completely awesome, over the top, and something that you would want to aspire to be as a mom. Okay, hashtag mom goals. And the thing about mom goals, I think about different things. It might be if a mom is working a full-time job and cooking at the same time, you know, and cleaning the house with the other hand. That would be a mom goal. Another mom goal, I was thinking about something my wife did. She just decided out of the blue during spring break that she was going to take all four of her kids and drive overnight to California to surprise visit her sister. And it's like, really? That is awesome. Right, so it's a mom goal. I was talking to Pastor Ryan, and they're just adjusting to life as having three children and a newborn baby, and Alicia, who's not here this morning because of, I think, sickness and being under the weather. But she, the first day Ryan came back to work, she had to go to Costco by herself with three kids just to prove to herself that she could. She was like, I want to figure, right? That's a mom goal, right? Hashtag mom goal. You know, and we think about these different things, and I love living at the time that we live in. I love technology. I love aspects of the internet. And I was thinking about mom goals, and I'm so grateful that if I'm struggling with something in my life, there is resources available to me at the tip of my fingerprints, at the click of a mouse, where I can get answers to real situations that I'm dealing with. Come on, I am so grateful for gifted moms out there that have blogs, that have written books about parenting. My wife and I are so grateful that there is a book that's called Raising Boys. Why? Because I've never done it. I am so grateful. I actually follow a few female moms that have blogs, and they encourage people and they give practical advice. And I am so grateful that we can glean from one another. Don't you know that we're called as Christians to encourage one another? Meaning, if there's something that you're doing that's working in your mothering, in your marriage, in your parenting, there's others that need to know that advice. Can I just tell you that this morning? So if God's given you those abilities, I want to encourage you to share those things, because there may be someone that needs to hear, how do we get our kids to sleep at night? How do we raise teenage boys in the midst of a generation that's a complete mess? So I love all the resources, but there's also a negative part to mom goals and social media, and I think the video alluded to it a little bit, but how many of you know it's very easy to start comparing yourself to other moms, and you very easily can get in the trap of not appreciating the gifts that God's given you, but you start comparing yourself to the things that you don't do, right? Moms, am I there, or is it just, you know, in the conversations I have with my wife? Where you look, and instead of being encouraged by what other moms are doing out there on social media, or the fact that this mom's an amazing cook and she prepares these homemade meals for her kids every single night, and you're doing your best just to put, you know, pizza rolls on the table at like 9 o'clock at night, right? Instead of seeing what that other mom is doing and being encouraged by it, you begin getting down on yourself. You begin comparing and getting into that trap, and that is not God's heart for you. Can I just tell you that this morning? God's heart is to not to be discouraged on what you're not doing as a mother or a parent, but to be encouraged in the giftings that He's given you and called you to walk in. Okay, so these social media things, and even talking about mom goals, it's not meant to discourage you this morning. You know, when you read Proverbs 31, God didn't put that scripture in the Bible so that you would just realize how bad of a sower you are. Oh man, I don't get up early and pick fleece every morning. Right? That's not God's heart for that scripture. And mom, I just want to take all that pressure off you today. I want you to be who God's called you to be as a mom, as a wife, and as a parent. And so this morning, I want to talk about some mom goals. I want to talk about four mom goals that I believe God wants every mom to walk in today. And they're not things that are specific to moms that, you know, have perfect kids, because guess what? They don't exist. These goals aren't specific to moms who have a perfect marriage in order and just everything in order, right? These mom goals are goals that I believe if you do these things and if you strive for these things, you will walk in fulfillment in your life. You will walk fulfillment in your mothering. You will walk in fulfillment in living the life that God has called you to live. So we want to talk about mom goals. Number one mom goal this morning, and moms, I'm speaking specifically to you, is number one, embrace and be the mom that God has called you to be. Okay, embrace and be the mom that God has called you to be to your kids. Moms, God has handpicked you to be the kids, to be the mom that your kids need. He has handpicked you. It is not by accident that you have the kids that you have. It is not on accident that you have the gifts that you have. God has handpicked you and your skill to be the mom that your kids need. Okay, my wife and I, a lot of times this reality is very freeing, but it's also very scary, that God has equipped you to be everything that your kids need in life. You have what it takes. Acts 17, 26, it says this. It says, from one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, God, marked out your appointed time and history and boundaries of your land. Listen, God has handpicked you moms to be what your kids need in this life. Embrace being the mom that he's called you to be. You know, I think there's a lie that all parents and especially moms struggle with, and it's a lie that says you're not enough. Right? It's a lie that says you're inadequate. It's a lie that says you don't have what it takes. And I want to encourage you this morning to not believe anything about your life that God doesn't say about you. Because God says you're more than enough. God says you're more than a conqueror. You know, my wife and I, we talk a lot about what do our kids need, and this is what I've boiled it down to, is moms, your kids need you to be everything that God has called you to be. They don't need something that you're not.
They don't need something that God hasn't called you to be. They need you to walk in the fullness of who God has created you to be. And the reason that moms this morning, you could be confident in that is because you have a God that knows you. Okay, you have a God that knows you. He created you. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 4, it says this. It says, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive my every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought, even before it enters into my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak, even before I speak them. You know every step I will take before my journey begins. Listen, this morning, God created you, moms, and he knows you. He knows you inside and out. And because of that, you could be confident in the gifts and the abilities that he's called you to walk in. Now, I believe there's a time that we're called to ask of wisdom, right? The Bible says, if you don't know what to do, ask, right? Be guilty moms of asking, right? Of going to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you this morning to embrace the mom that God's called you to be. If some of you are working and you're the boss mom, be the best boss mom that you can be. Right? Some of you moms, you might be the sporty mom. My wife is the sporty mom. She's the best sporty mom there is out there. Right? She's embracing who God has called her to be. Some of you moms might be really good at cooking and preparing these incredible meals. You may be the foodie mom. Embrace being the foodie mom. Some of you moms, I applaud this morning that homeschool your kids. If you are the homeschool mom, I applaud you and I encourage you to be the best teacher mom out there. If you are not the homeschool mom, that is okay. Be the best not a homeschool mom that there is. Be the mom that God has called you to be with the gifts that God has given you to use. Moms, you are gifted. You are qualified. And God has entrusted you with the abilities to call out the giftings of your children. So be that mom. Number two, second mom goal this morning is raise children who know God and know that he's a Savior. Come on, you can put so much pressure on yourself to teach them all about, I got to just teach them everything. You know, no, you don't. Teach them to know God and know that he's their Savior. When our oldest was about two, Pastor Ryan, would you go just help her? Thank you. Sorry. Awesome. Thanks, guys. God, we just pray for Dawn and whatever's going on. God, just healing over her this morning and whatever's going on in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. But as a parent, I think our kids were about just turned two when we realized this, and it's a powerful truth. You can't control the heart of your kids. Right? You cannot control. You can try. You can try to teach. You can try to train. You can put boundaries. But at the end of the day, you have to realize this, that God is the one who changes a heart. He is the only one that can take a heart of stone and can make it a heart of flesh. He is the only one that can take an impossible situation and make it possible. And so you need to understand that, moms, that you can raise your kids that know who God is and know he's their Savior. Proverbs 22, verse 6, this is a great scripture, but it says this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, right? Teaching him to seek God's wisdom and his will for his abilities and talents. And then even when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Moms and dads, this doesn't mean just to teach them how to act and teach them how to behave and teach them the right things to do and the wrong things to do. It means teach them who God is. Teach them how to trust in Him. Teach them how to have faith. And as he experiences that, he will not walk away from that lifestyle. You know, our kids have the privilege of going to a Christian school. And I'm so grateful. And so a lot of their projects are faith-related, which is pretty cool. And so this week, our son Daniel is doing a project about his mentor, right? And I was a little disappointed at first because it wasn't me. Right? And this is the second one that he's done where he's done these papers and it's been like other people in his life and it's not me. And part of me gets like, oh man, really? And then I'm like, I'm so grateful that my sons are surrounded by incredible adults. Right? And so that just makes my heart. But he did a paper this week about his mentor. And his mentor is his Mimi, my mother-in-law, right? Which is pretty cool. And helping him articulate his writing and be like, wow, that was kind of an odd, in my opinion, that was an odd choice because I was thinking, I wonder what it is. Like, why would he say her besides me or someone else? Like, what makes her so special? And it was interesting because he said, I've watched my Mimi have a relationship with God, and it makes me want to have a relationship with God. And I thought, and if you know her, it's not because she preaches and tells them you need to do this and you need to do that. And I wouldn't say she's this, you know, like, I mean, I don't know that I've seen her read her Bible, you know, because she's doing it in the mornings. Well, I don't know that I have, right? But my son Daniel is emulating, and my son Daniel is seeing that she has cultivated a real relationship with God. And he says, I want to be like her. And I thought, moms, don't underestimate that in your lives. Your greatest tool to your kids falling in love with Jesus is your own personal relationship with Him. That's your greatest tool. If you don't know all the scriptures, that's okay. Have a personal relationship with Him and let your kids see you do it. Show them what it means, out of Proverbs 22, to demonstrate a real life of faith. You know, we said earlier, we can't control their hearts. Right? Another famous scripture in Deuteronomy where God's talking to his people in the Old Testament, and he says this to them, and maybe you've heard it before, and I'm reading it out of the message because it just breaks it down. And it says this, it says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Okay? You don't need to just write it, you know, on the outside of their behavior, but get it in your heart. And then it says this, get them inside of you and then get them inside of your children. I think the tendency as a parent is to be like, I just want to get my kids to act right and I'll all be good. Okay, but go backwards. Get them inside of you. Moms, get the revelation for yourself. Get the heart for yourself. Get passionate about the things of God for yourself, and then it will get inside of your kids. It goes on, and it says, talk about them wherever you are, right? It's not just about an hour and a half church service on a Sunday. It's a lifestyle. Okay, talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall asleep at night. Tie them on your hands. It's saying get creative. Keep it in front of your kids. It should be normal. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your home and on your city gates. My wife and I realized this, and we don't know, we're not perfect. I'm giving examples about our life because it's what we've experienced, but trust me, we are far from figured it out. Each day it's a journey of faith. But we realize this as our kids get older. The greatest tool that we have to reach our kids is telling them how God reached us and how God is currently reaching us. Because there are times, we do this every night at home, when we are home and eating around the dinner table, is we go around and we say, what was the best part of your day? Right? It's kind of simple, gets conversation going. And then after everyone does that, we do the other one. What was the worst part of your day?
And my wife and I share what the worst part of our day was. And yes, we use wisdom, and yes, we operate, you know, just realizing the age of our kids. But there's something about transparency and vulnerability and humility when our kids see us walking in that, it makes it click and it makes it real in their hearts. When they realize that mom and dad are not perfect and mom and dad have real world struggles as well, and they can see that serving God is not just something we do on Sundays, but it's something that's real and that it's flesh and it involves our heart. And sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. But that is the greatest, greatest thing that we've seen, is when our kids see us walk in humility, it allows them to touch the heart of God for themselves. That's the greatest tool that you have. The third mom goal I have for you this morning is, moms, do this. Teach your kids to be confident with the values that you're instilling in them. Listen, we're called to give our kids values, to give our kids godly principles, to teach our kids right from wrong. How to love others, how to walk in generosity, how to walk in compassion, how to walk in kindness. But it is totally okay, moms, to teach your kids to stand up for what's right. It is totally okay, mom, to teach them to be confident in the values that you've given them. Just because they may differ from someone else in belief, in practice, it doesn't make them better, but they don't need to be ashamed about the values that you're instilling in them. We had a situation with our son this week, and he pretty much was standing alone in the midst of doing the right thing. And I said, "Were you okay with that?" And he said, "Well, I like people to like me, but I knew it was the right thing to do." And I thought, I'm not ashamed for teaching my kids it's okay to stand up for what you believe in. It's okay to stand up for the convictions that God has put on your life. So moms, do not apologize for teaching your kids convictions. Do not apologize. Teach them to love through the process, please. Teach them to always love and always forgive, but it's okay that they stand up for what they believe in. Teach them to be confident in those things. The fourth mom goal I have for you this morning, moms, and I hope you're encouraged this morning, but as you're walking through life, and this is probably one of my favorite messages, is teach them how to walk in someone else's shoes. Right? I'm talking about the power of living with empathy. Because I believe this. I believe that as we look at how Jesus lived his life, and every single time he did a miracle, every single time that he healed from someone, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. And that word doesn't mean sorrow. That word doesn't mean, well, I just feel so bad for you. You're so pathetic that I'm going to like do something nice for you. No, it means that you feel with someone. Right? So teach your kids what it means to walk in someone else's shoes. Because if you can teach your kids how to walk in someone else's shoes, I guarantee you that they will live a life full of ministry. They will live a life full of miracles, because when they go through a life, I mean, we talked about it last week. We live in a broken world. We live in a world full of pain, full of brokenness, full of confusion. And there's so many people out there that just want to be heard. Am I right? People, it's the cliche saying, and I'm gonna forget about it because, you know. But the saying that says, until they know that you care about them, they're not going to listen to you. Right? They won't care until you know that you care. Right? Teach your kids how to listen and how to walk in someone else's shoes. Listen, it is so easy to see our differences. It is so easy for me to see the sins of the world and forget about my own sins. It is so easy for me to see the faults in other people's lives and forget my own faults. It is so easy for me to get in the judgment seat when I look at others' lives, but when I put it in perspective and say, I wonder what they have been through that has shaped them into who they are today, it changes everything. Listen, compassion fuels connection. Right? Your children will have lives of connection, of relationship, of ministry, of vibrancy when they are fueled with a heart of compassion. Like true compassion. Because compassion fuels connection. We can see this in 1 Peter chapter 3, and he's encouraging the New Testament church this way, and he says this, and I'm reading it out of the Amplified Version, but it says this, it says, finally, all of you be like-minded, united in spirit, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, courteous, compassionate towards each other as members of one household and humble in spirit. Okay, I want to read it for you out of the Message, and I have it up there on the screens for you. And I love the Message because it's how I speak. He says this, summing it up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions, no retaliation, no sharp tongue, sarcasm. Instead, bless. Teach your kids to bless. That's your job. You'll be a blessing, but you'll also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil. Cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks at this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. But he turns his back on those who do evil. Come on, teach your kids what it means to walk with someone through their brokenness. Can I have the worship team come up this morning? You know, this week we got to do a little fun thing as a family, go down to the Great Wolf Lodge for a night. And my wife is amazing, and I probably don't brag about her enough, but we were walking back to the hotel room, and we were in an elevator with our family, and then there was a boy that was probably about 17 years old, and he had Down syndrome. And he was sitting there in the corner, and, you know, we just kind of did our thing, but we began to tell that something wasn't right with this boy, that he was scared, and we began to realize that he wasn't in there with anyone. And it comes to found out that he had been separated at this resort from his family, and he was probably 16 or 17, but, you know, couldn't speak, and he was trying to use sign language to communicate to us, and, you know, it just wasn't working. We weren't connecting, and I had a parent fail because I was wet. My kids were grumpy. They were wet. It was late, and I said, there's someone in a blue shirt. Let's just give this kid to them, a worker. Right? Shame on Pastor Justin. And my wife says, no. He's scared. He doesn't know what to do. And my wife, for 45 minutes, took this boy down as he's crying now. And you know what our kids are still talking about? How their mom helped the boy. And the next day on the water slides, they like went on a water slide with this kid. And it was really fun, like their friend. But our sons learned a lesson that day. They learned two, what not to do. But they learned how to have empathy. And they began to say, man, I'm sure he was scared. They learned what it would be like to walk in someone else's shoes this morning. Can you all stand up? Moms, I want to pray for you this morning as we dismiss, and then we have a gift for you. And the worship team's just going to play this morning. So would you close your eyes? And I just want to bless our moms. I want to pray God's blessing over you on this Mother's Day. We've talked about mom goals. And I'm sure certain things have identified in your heart. And I just pray God's best over these areas, that you would walk in whatever area resonated in your heart. So pray with me. God, I thank you for every single mom in this room. Father, I thank you for bringing moms here today. Father, for the giftings that you've given moms. Father, you know every mom's struggle. You know every mom's journey. You know everything there is to know about the moms that are here today because you created them. And Father, I just, first off, God, just, I thank you. God, we're so grateful this morning. I ask that you would bless every mom in a real way, in a supernatural way this morning. But Father, I pray for those moms even this year that they would be able to embrace who you've called them to be as moms. Father, even if there's struggles with comparison and not measuring up, Father, I pray that they would feel their adequacy comes from you. Father, that you would just meet them today. Father, give your moms, give the moms in this room the ability, God, to talk to their kids about who you are. Father, let us be people who use our weaknesses, who use what you're doing in us to reach our kids. Father, we know that you have called us to live a certain way with values, with principles, with convictions. Father, thank you for those things. Father, that set us apart. Father, help us as parents to give those things in a real way, in a refreshing way. And Father, I do pray for the compassion, for the empathy. Father, that we would be able to see and we would be able to teach our kids what it means to have compassion on others, to not be in a hurry, to get on with what we need to get on with, that we would miss the opportunities that you've put in front of us. Father, I bless every mom here. Father, I ask that they would be encouraged this morning by you. Father, if there's moms that feel tired, Father, I pray that they would find themselves at your well, drinking from the source that will keep them refreshed. And we just bless and we celebrate our moms today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Moms, I hope you're blessed. I hope you're encouraged. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have moms remain standing. If you are a mother, would you remain standing? All the husbands, though, you can sit. This will help for our kids. But moms, we do have a gift for you as we dismiss. I hope you have a great day. Our kids are in the back and they have a gift for every single mom. And so moms, when you receive one, you can take a seat. But God bless you. We love you. Have a great Mother's Day. You're amazing. And Janessa Polreich, it is so good to see you this morning. A brand new mom. I just saw you of a week. Her baby's here. Congratulations. Awesome. The newest mom. Awesome. Awesome. Well, God bless you. Once you get your gift, you are released. Have a great day.